But we're going to look together at the story of Jesus' resurrection. But before we do that, because what we're going to do this morning is we're going to read some of John chapter 20. Now, John is an eyewitness account of Jesus' life. He's collected all the information that he saw, and he's written it down so that people can know what happened with Jesus. And we're going to read from John 20. Don't bother turning there just yet. We can do that in a minute. We're going to read from John 20, but we need to do some catching up because we've missed 19 chapters as we arrive in John 20. So we're going to sing a song that is going to help us catch up, teach us some things, remind us of some things that perhaps we knew already about Jesus, and help us so that when we get read John 20, we're like, oh yeah, okay. And so the first verse of the song, the chorus, reminds us Jesus is fully God and fully man. And there's some other bits in the song that remind us of some of the stories about Jesus that we find in John's gospel. So we're going to stand together. Let's stand. And we're going to sing, Jesus is fully God, fully man. Emmanuel's going to read John chapter 20, so the top left of page 1089. Hopefully you found it. Emmanuel, off you go.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running down to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb, he saw strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They did still not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying.
Thank you, Emmanuel. And Josh is going to carry on reading the next bit. Thanks, Josh. Nice and loud. Into the microphone. There you go.
Now Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realise that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabbani," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." She told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked, fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord.
Thanks so much, Joss. I'll carry on reading a little bit more from verse 24. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hand and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said, "My Lord and my God. Well, we're going to think about that story in a moment. But before we do, I thought it'd be good that we sing. You might have noticed right at the beginning that it was early on the first day of the week. And we're going to sing a song that helps to capture some of the things that come up in the story. It reflects on this morning and Mary's experience. So let's stand together and sing, "See What a Morning," gloriously bright with the dawning of hope. We're going to think about that story that we just read. And as I mentioned earlier, when Good Friday happens, this is very much the case. Jesus is dead. Jesus is dead. The Romans didn't do bodge jobs. They were good at crucifixion. They'd nailed him to the cross, they'd left him there for a while, and then they checked that he was dead, and they pierced his side, and blood poured out, and he was definitely dead. They took him down. You'd think when they took him down, they'd double-check, wouldn't they? He's definitely dead. And so Jesus was dead, and then he was buried in a tomb, and he was wrapped in linen cloths. He looked a bit like a mummy in the Egyptian books that you might have seen. He looked a bit like a mummy. They laid him in a tomb, and they rolled a stone over the tomb. He is dead and buried. It's a sad time at the end of Good Friday. So what happens next needs some careful examination. We need to carefully think, what happens next? We get our magnifying glass out and we look closely at the clues and we work out what happened next. Now, for this, I'm going to compile some evidence. From what we just read, we're going to compile a list of evidence, and I need some help to find some clues. Now, some of you might know that Jesus was buried in a tomb in a garden. How lovely, a tomb in a garden. I thought, well, we can't all go out to the garden and look for clues, so I thought I'd bring the garden in. Oh, I haven't done a great job of bringing the garden in, but I've tried quite hard. Now, there are 10 little eggs. And I need 10 people to go and find some eggs. And you might need help from some grown-ups because they're quite high up. So if you can just find the eggs for me, please. And if you can find an egg and bring it to the front, that would be really helpful. Lucas, there's one just... but look, over there, look, over there. Up there, climb on the chair and get that one. Up there, good. Sienna, well done. Emmanuel, you get that one. Give it to Daddy. Oh, what's inside?
Can we have the egg back?
You can have the egg back. Yeah, you can have. Thanks, my boy. There we go. There we go. You have the egg. Thanks, Jesse. Oh, this one's quite... Here, what are you doing? That's half an egg. That's not a garden. Come on, Benji. Who's got the other orange egg? Oh, well, you don't want those ones. How many have you got? Loads. That's half an egg. You don't want that one. Who's got the other? Or have we got 10? I've got one here. You've got two. That's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Grab one from George. I'm sure George will share. Excellent. Who's got the other orange egg? Oh, Josh, come here. Open that up for me. Because I've only got half at the moment. And we need to put the pieces together. What does it say? Stone removed. Okay, so let's put that on our evidence board. It's like we're in the police, isn't it? Stone removed. Okay. Stone removed. Stone. Can you all spell stone? Yeah, well done. Stone removed. So they put a stone across the tomb to make sure it was sealed, to make sure Jesus' body inside was safe. Nobody could get in or out was the idea. We get our magnifying glass out. We discover what's happened. The stone is removed. Mary gets there. She finds the stone has been removed. Who's got some pink eggs? Pink eggs. George, what does it say? Let's piece it together with what Benji's got in there. Don't worry about breaking my eggs. They're not expensive. Eggs are designed for breaking, aren't they? Yours just says V2 and 5. That's interesting. What does yours say? Let's put them together. No boy. Put it together. What does it say? Nobody. 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 Okay, verse 2. Oh, thank you. You can sit down if you want to. Nobody. So Mary goes to the tomb, the stone's been moved, and then she comes running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and she says, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb. The tomb with Jesus' body laid in it, and it's now empty. There's no body in the tomb. Okay, we're piecing things together. Who's got some yellow eggs? Tricky that, isn't it? You've got one and you've got one. Shall we piece the bits inside together? Can you open it? What does it say in there? Unroll it. Oh, that's a bit confusing. There's only half. Shall we piece it together with this one? Can you stand up and piece it together, look, and then we'll try and read it. Pop this bit here. That's it. Three. What does it say, Raphael? Can you read it? Linen. Linen cloth laid out, verse 5, 6, and 7. Okay, linen cloth laid out. Ah, Peter and John get there, and they bend over, and they look in, and they see the strips of linen lying where they were when they were wrapped around Jesus' body. Linen lying on the, where it was, linen. Empty linen, that's interesting, isn't it? Why is it empty? Why is the linen empty? Where's the body gone? Why is it not wrapped anymore? There's no body there. The linen should have been wrapped around the body, but the body's gone and the linen's still there. If they were grave robbers, they'd have taken the linen because it's expensive. So what's going on? We've got some more clues, but first we need to notice this. So far, Mary thinks maybe somebody's taken the body away. So Mary stands outside the tomb. Mary's outside the tomb. She's crying. How's she feeling? Sad. Sad. She's crying. She's crying her eyes out. She's weeping. She bends over. She looks in. And what does she see? Here we go. Look, Mary. Mary's sad. She looks in the tomb. What does she see? Two angels, I've only got one. Two angels. She sees two angels, and they say to her, why are you crying? Well, it's a bit obvious, isn't it, angels? Come on. Why are you crying? And she says, they've taken away my Lord. And then she turns around, and she sees somebody who she thinks is a gardener, but she's got tears in her eyes. She can't see properly. And the gardener says, why are you crying? And again, you think it was a bit obvious. Mary says, they've taken away my Lord. I don't know where they put him. So far, as we look at this evidence, as Mary looks at the stone removed, at the empty tomb, at the linen empty, she thinks somebody's taken the body. Well, we've got some more clues. Who's got a blue egg? Or two here, Sienna and Emmanuel. Can you find out what's inside and piece it together? I think this could be crucial. Piece it together, work together, piece it together. What does it say? Say it a bit louder.
Jesus appears to Mary.
Jesus appears to Mary. That's quite important, I think. Jesus and Mary. Jesus appears to Mary. Listen to this. She says, the person she thinks is a gardener says, woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she says, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I'll get him. And Jesus said to her, Mary. Jesus says to her, Mary. How must that have felt? She's so sad. She thinks Jesus is dead. And then Jesus says, Mary. How do you think she felt then? Happy, I reckon so. No more tears. She's so happy, she hugs him. So happy, she hugs him. That's quite happy, isn't it? And Jesus says to her, look, look, Mary, look. Don't hold on to me. I'm going and I need you to do me a favor. I need you to take my message to my disciples. Go and tell them you've seen the Lord. And she goes. Where does she go? What's in the green eggs? The last clue in our passage. Should we piece it together? What do we find? Unravel it, Lucas. Go on. That's it. Oh, you've got a piece and you've got a piece. You're going to have to put it together. Shall I read it? You reckon you can read it? Should we hold it nice and close? What do you think? What does it say, Lucas?
Jesus appears to his disciples.
It's quite tricky, that word, isn't it? Disciples.
Disciples take away V9.
Very good. Well read. You can all go and sit down. Thank you very much for your help. There'll be more eggs to find later. But what we discover in clue number 5 is that Jesus appears to the disciples. There you go. That says disciples. If you're not sure, that there. That says disciples. Jesus appears to his disciples. Now that feels to me quite important as well. He didn't just appear to one lady. He appears to many disciples on the evening of that first day of the week. When the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. And he said, "Peace be with you." And he showed them his hands and his side. Mary hugs him. It's not a ghost. Mary hugs him. And he speaks and then shows the disciples his hands and his side. "Look at me, I'm real. I'm flesh and blood," he says. Not a hallucination. Jesus is alive. The clues, as we piece them together, we find Jesus is alive. And that is good news, because that means death has been beaten. Death has been beaten. Jesus is not anymore dead. Jesus is now very much alive. And that is good news for all of us, because death is horrid and worrying. I think death makes us fear. And Jesus has beaten death, and anyone who trusts him can beat death with him. That is really good. So good that we need to say, "Christ is risen."
He is risen
indeed. And we need to sing. We need to celebrate that Jesus is risen. So let's stand together and sing. Let's lift the name of the Lord on high. Jesus is alive, and that is good news. That is very good news this Easter Sunday. It's good news for these people in this chapter because they get their friend back. But there's some other reasons. There's two other reasons it's really good news that Jesus is alive. And we're going to have a think about those two reasons for just a few minutes. As we do, I think it will help us to just think about some of the reactions to Jesus being alive that we see in our story. So Mary, let's get rid of the angel. Mary was sad, weeping, because Jesus was not alive. Jesus was dead. How do you think Mary feels by the time she's hugged Jesus? Happy. I think Mary's pretty happy. Mary's reaction to the risen Jesus is a big smile and a big hug for Jesus. She's delighted. Did anybody notice Thomas's reaction? Anybody notice Thomas's reaction? Thomas got told Jesus is alive. What did he do? Doubted. Fair enough. Man dies. Friends say man is alive again. What do you think? Really? Really? Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure, friends? John, Peter, are you sure? "I'm not so sure," Thomas says. "In fact, I've got big questions," Thomas says. Big questions. Doubts. Maybe you've got doubts about whether Jesus really rose. Maybe you've come to church this morning and we said, "Christ is risen. He is risen indeed." And you're like, "Yeah, whatever. People don't come back from the dead." You're in really good company. Thomas was in that place. Thomas had the privilege of meeting Jesus, and that changed everything, took his doubts away. And if you're here and you're thinking, "No, there's no way Jesus rose," here's what you can do. You can read John's Gospel, the eyewitness account of Jesus' life, And you can think, who is this Jesus? What does he claim? Is he really reliable? Is he trustworthy? That's as good as we've got. Thomas could put his hands in his side and see his spear mark. But we can read the eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life. And Jesus goes on to say to Thomas, you believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who see me, who believe without seeing. So if you haven't seen Jesus, but you're a believer, you're blessed more than Thomas. That's quite cool, isn't it? You're more blessed than Thomas because you've seen without believed without seeing him. There's one other group of people, the disciples. And I'm just going to help us think about their reaction to Jesus. Now, let's remember that they're fearful. So they're hidden away in a room and they're full of fear. Can you remember how they feel after they've met Jesus? Josh? Overjoyed. They go from fear to joy. So Easter Sunday, here's what Easter Sunday does. Easter Sunday turns fear into joy. Okay, that sounds good. I've got lots of things I fear. I could do with some joy. Let's see if we can work out how it happens. And it happens, if you notice this, as Jesus appears to them and says, peace be with you. But it's not just his words that matter as he appears to them. It's what he says and what he shows them. Imagine I come to you, Josh, and I say, you're going to be so excited. What are you thinking? Why? Why am I going to be excited? What is it about? Now, Lucas, I come to you, I say, you're going to be so excited. And then I show you a massive present. Yeah? Does that sound good?
Yeah?
So the thing that Jesus says, peace be with you, and the thing that he shows them go together. The peace comes because of the thing that Jesus shows them. What does he show them? His hands and his side. Very good. Here's my hands. Here's my side. Ah. Is Jesus doing a bit more than just showing his hands on his side? Why is he doing that? What does he have on his hands? Nail marks. He's risen, he's alive again, but he still has nail marks in his hands. What does he have on his side? A spear mark, a hole, it's healed now, but you can still see it. He shows them his hands on his side to remind them about the cross. And he's saying, I'm alive. It's great that I'm alive because I'm alive after the cross. And we can have peace because Jesus went to the cross and died and rose again. And this is how it works, okay? Jesus is alive and that brings joy to the disciples. But not just because they've got their friend back, but for these two reasons. The disciples have joy on Easter Sunday, and we can have joy on Easter Sunday because Jesus is alive, he's beaten death, and he gives us peace. Now, when Jesus stands before them and says, peace be with you, and shows them his hands and his side, he's saying, I'm the one who went to the cross and died. I'm really the one who is alive again. The one who was hanging on the cross, that's me. Look at my hands. Look at my side. I have beaten death. That is good. That is good. Jesus has beaten death. Anybody here worried about death? We really should worry about death unless there's a way through death. And Jesus says, you can beat death with me if you trust me. Look at my hands and my side. I died, I'm alive again. And then he gives us peace. Anybody need some peace? Anybody stressed and worried and fearful, anxious about all sorts of things? There's so much that gives us reason for fear. And Jesus comes to the disciples who are fearful of the Jewish leaders and says, you can have peace. And what he's referring to is peace with God that he has achieved at the cross. If you were here on Friday, you might remember that we talked about Jesus drinking down God's anger at sin. And we talked about Jesus taking the guilt of sin away from us.
You see, sin just ruins our relationship with God. And we're distant from him. We're set apart from him. We're in a broken relationship with God until Jesus dies at the cross, takes the punishment that is due to us, and takes our sin away so that we can be forgiven and have a right relationship with God again, peace with God again. And so Jesus says to his disciples, look at my hands, look at my side. I died on the cross to get you peace with God. And so Christians all through history have celebrated Easter Sunday because Jesus is alive. No, and that means that death is beaten and we have peace with God. And that is reason for joy and celebration. If you're trusting Jesus this morning, you can face death confidently, knowing that you will go through death with Jesus. And you can face death confidently, knowing that when you meet God, you will have peace with him. Your relationship with him is restored. And maybe you've got loads of questions like Thomas. I'd love to talk to you about them later. There's a book at the back. It's called How One Weekend Can Give You Everything You Ever Wanted. You can take a copy away if you'd like to. If there aren't any copies when you get there and you'd like one, tell me and you can have mine. But Jesus comes back from the dead on Easter Sunday, and it means death is beaten and we can have peace with God. And that is reason for joy. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to spend a little bit of time reflecting as we sing a song that takes us through this story again. Let's pray. Lord God, we praise you and thank you for the Lord Jesus, who is indeed risen. The clues point towards him being alive again. And we thank you that he speaks those words to his disciples in that room and speaks them to us now. Peace be with you. He gives us peace through his death at the cross. And we praise you that through Jesus, death is beaten. Two remarkable, wonderful reasons for hope and joy. Death is beaten. Peace is ours. Jesus is alive. We celebrate. We praise you. Amen.